We're going to dispense with our lesson from 1 Samuel tonight and turn to a message that God has placed on my heart in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. The Bible is bound together by two cords. One of them is scarlet red, and it refers to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood atonement. And from Genesis through the book of Revelation, the blood atonement is pictured and preached over and over and over again. And if you were to break this scarlet thread, the Bible would fall to pieces. The other thread that holds it together is a golden cord. And that is the cord that represents His second coming. The Bible says very plainly that the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stock. And just as sure as the prophecies concerning the scarlet thread, the atonement, were literally fulfilled, even so will all the prophecies that have to do with the golden thread of His second coming be literally fulfilled. And if you were to break that golden thread, the Bible also would fall to pieces. For these two threads hold the Word of God together. I have often said, if your heart is cold, read either about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 19th chapter of John or the 27th chapter of Matthew, or read about His second coming in the 14th chapter of John or the first chapter of the book of Acts. Tonight we're going to read from Matthew 27, beginning with verse 45, and in a brief few moments, point out to you five touches of Calvary. Now from the sixth hour, that's 12 o'clock high noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias or for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, the very bitterest of vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias or Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, or were split or torn, broken apart. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His precious word. Keep your Bibles open. Verse 45, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land unto the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I wish that you could picture in your mind the narrow street in the city of Jerusalem that exists tonight almost as it did in the days of Jesus. And down this narrow Via Dolorosa, the Son of God is led to one of the gates. And as they go outside of the gate of the city, they approach a place called Calvary, the place of the skull, Golgotha. And if you were in Palestine and walked out that gate to Calvary or Golgotha, you would have no trouble recognizing it, for actually you can see the image of a human skull and the eyes and the nose and the mouth. It is very prolific why they call this place Golgotha. And here high on this hill, the Son of God is nailed to the old rugged cross. And beside Him are a thief on each of His sides. And it was about noon. The sun was shining at meridian heights. And all of a sudden there is a 3-hour blackout of the sun. And I believe that it was as pitch dark as it was in Egypt's land. And so I can say, number one tonight, that the first thing Calvary touched that day was the sun. Calvary touched the sun for three reasons. Number one, because of the awesome spectacle. He had been beaten with a scourge, a cat of nine tails, until his back looked like the inside of the puff of a grape. The crown of thorns had pierced his brow, and the blood was trickling down his face. The spears were in his hands and in his feet. And as these spikes were driven in his hands and his feet, for the Son of God, this is a spectacle that God hides from the eyes of the world. Calvary touched the Son to hide the shame. I believe shame was connected with the crucifixion. I believe I can prove it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the what? The shame. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. And so the Son is touched to hide the shame. But Calvary touched the Son for another reason. To hide the separation, Brother Pierce, between Him and His Father. From all eternity there had been perfect unison. He had said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He said, my face is set like a flint toward Jerusalem. And everything that Jesus did was in complete harmony with the Father's plan and the Spirit's plan in the covenant of grace And to this moment, the 12th hour on that Wednesday morning, there had been complete union between the Father and the Son. But hear the pitiful cry when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And literally, the separation of unity and union is away from the Son of God and the Father, because he is now the sin barrier as he takes upon him the sins of all of his people. Calvary touched the Son that day. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elijah. Straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, gave it to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Number two, Calvary touched the sanctuary. If you could have seen Solomon's temple, if you could have seen this magnificent building, if you could have seen all the ornate decorations in it, you would have been awestricken the very moment that you walked on the inside. But the veil of the temple was just the thing that separated the outer court from the Holy of Holies. And behind this veil was the Holy of Holies, and the veil of the temple had hung there for 1,500 years. It was woven of scarlet and purple and blue, and embroidered on the veil were replicas of the cherubim. And as it hung there that day, in that supposed to be holy sanctuary, Calvary touched this sanctuary, and this temple split or rent from top to bottom. Why from top to bottom? Indicating that salvation does not start with man and go upward, but salvation starts with God and goes downward. And not only does it represent that salvation comes from heaven, but it represents that Jesus has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and there is nothing tonight to keep you or me or anybody else from going right inside the Holy of Holies through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he would touch this sanctuary every time we meet? Calvary touched the stone. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And you've heard me say many times, you can pick up a tiny grain of sand on the seashore, look under it under a microscope. You can look at the largest rock in the Rocky Mountains or in any mountainous area in the world. You can look at all the stones between the largest and the smallest grain of sand, and every one of them has a cracked place or a ripped place, because Calvary touched the stones that day when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And every time you see a crack in a stone, it's a testimony to the fact that Jesus died on the old rugged cross. That's not all Calvary touched. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Calvary touched the Son. Calvary touched the sanctuary. Calvary touched the stones or the rocks. And Calvary touched the sepulchers. many of the saints which slept in the grave arose after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto me. I hope you can picture that like I can. Because I can picture a family that has lost a father. Maybe the flowers are not yet wilted on the grave. And Calvary has taken place. The sun has been touched. The sanctuary has been touched. The stones have been touched. And now the sepulchers are touched. And I can see a young man outside as he sees his father that was in the cemetery come walking toward the house. Because after the resurrection, many that slept in the grave arose and came into the holy city. And I can see him running in the house saying, "Mama, yonder comes Daddy." I can see a wife saying, "Yonder comes my husband." I can see a husband saying, "Yonder comes my wife." I can see somebody saying, "Well, there's Grandpa." I can see them as they recognize them as they come into the holy city and appear to me. You believe that happened? I believe it happened. And I'll tell you something right here. That's when Jesus changed paradise. In the Old Testament, Hades was made up of two divisions. One of them was paradise that housed those who were saved and had died under the blood. It was separated by an impassable gulf. And in the other part of Hades was the part that housed the unsaved spirits that had died and gone to Hades. And now here between the crucifixion and the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to move Hades, or paradise, out of Hades and take it into heaven itself. He was put to death in the flesh, and by the Spirit went and preached to those in prison. Not salvation, but deliverance. And said, "We're fixing to vacate this place, and we're fixing to move you into the very presence of God." And right there, Isaiah 5:14 was fulfilled. "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their pomp and their multitude shall descend into it." But before he moved them into the new paradise, he let them go by their house and say farewell to their loved ones. And I can tell you something else, church. There's coming a day again when he'll touch the sepulcher. Calvary touched the sun. Calvary touched the sanctuary. Calvary touched the stones. Calvary touched the sepulcher. But that's not all. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now look at me. He touched the soldier. A Roman centurion was a man of great importance. You had to go through vast training. You had to go through ardent schooling. You had to go through immense preparation in order to be a centurion, because a centurion was a man of such military caliber that he did not flinch at anything. And so when Jesus had been turned over to him that day, as he took him to Calvary, I can see that centurion as he looked at him in the face, and as he looked with the hardness of the eye of an eagle and said, "You're going to die and I'm going to see to it." And I imagine the centurion thought, when you die, it's not going to bother me one iota. Because I've crucified many others. I've been in my military position for years and years and years. And you'll just be another number. And pretty soon that number will be up. I'm going to see to it that you die. I'm sure he was tough. But when the centurion and those that were with him saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now here's a strong soldier. Here is an extra special tough soldier. Here is a man of military strength and military hardness. But Calvary touched him that day. And he made his confession of faith and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Do you remember when Jesus touched you? He touched the Son. He touched the sanctuary. He touched the stones. He touched the sepulcher. And thank God Calvary touched the soldier. It's saying, Bob.
Number 268.
May we stand together, please.